I have light in my soul, for which long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy are my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Verse 4. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy, as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Reverend Stamper, would you pray over our service for us? Amen. You may be seated. Let's take our little white chorus books and let's turn to number 18. Do you know that you've been born again? Aren't you glad that you can know? Amen. Number 18.
Do you know that you've been born again? You know that you've been born again. Does the Spirit dwell within, bearing witness that you've been cleansed from every sin and stain? Are you ready if the Lord should come, or today your soul should claim? Can you say, eternal years, free from doubt and dread and fears? Do you know that you've been born again? Yes. Jesus, I know that I've been born again. Yes, I know that I've been born again. For the Spirit dwells within, bearing witness that I've been cleansed from every sin and stain. I am ready if the Lord should come, or today my soul should claim. I can face eternal years, free from death and deadly fears. Yes, I know, that I've been born again.
Isn't it good to know tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to number 39. Number 39. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. Number 39.
God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountain you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do.
Amen. Thank you for your good singing. I heard a preacher say one time, he says there's a lot of people that come around with woes and a lot of problems, but he said there's two words, but God. Amen. God makes the difference. God can still tunnel through mountains. God can move mountains. Oh, I'm glad tonight that he's on our side. Amen. Amen. This time we'll have our announcements. Don't forget about the table back here, our daily bread, Baptist bread. Don't forget about that. Our little devotional book helps you read through the Bible in a year. Very encouraging and helpful in the morning. Let's not forget our prayer list. Those on our prayer list, let's not forget them. Let's remember our pastor and his family as they're traveling back. Should be back tomorrow. Be with Brother Cotton. Remember, he stepped off the ladder and fell and hurt his foot. He had surgery this week. Let's be with him and the many other requests that were made on Wednesday night. Let's not forget those. Then let's not forget this coronavirus that's running rampant. That God will intervene and somehow they'll be able to find something to get a stop to this. It is affecting people everywhere around us. As I know right now, there is no cases in Highlands County. I believe God spared us, and I'm thankful for that. Hopefully he just kind of puts a hedge around Highlands County. Amen. I want you to know, I was just telling my wife today, she's not here, and the reason she's not here is, as many of you know, she just came through having a pneumonia, and so her immune system isn't really up, and she's very nervous and worried about it. So remember her in prayer. She's pretty scared about this. And I told her today, I said, I remember a story as a boy, a preacher said that this woman, her husband didn't like that she was a Christian. He'd come home from work, and if anything went wrong, he'd just beat her. One day she was doing the laundry, and she hung her laundry out, and this is a true story. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, God, if I don't get this laundry done, my husband's clothes were washed for work. She said, he'll come home and beat me terrible tonight. She looked outside, and it was raining. And she said, I watched that rain come right down the street, and I've watched this as a boy. She said, it came right down the street and came within two houses of her and turned and went the other way. That's God, my friends. That's God, and that's the God we serve tonight. He's still in charge. He's still in control. And I want you to know he created coronavirus, and he can take it away. God's able tonight. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Don't forget about fifth Sunday meal sign up on the back. Sign up back there. The fifth Sunday we'll be having a meal. And then also afterwards we'll be having a gospel sing. And then after that, we will not be having an evening service that evening. So let's not forget that. And those that want to sign up to sing or do a poem or anything you might want to do, play an instrument. So, Brother Johnston, if you want to play your hubcaps, you can bring them. That'll be your service. All right, do I have anyone else that has a request at this time?
Yes.
Yes. If you want to leave your dining room table and chairs here, let me know.
You might be very surprised.
Let's remember the Coopers. Haven't they been a blessing to our church? Amen. Amen. Let's just be praying for them as they go up there to care for her mom and dad. And I do thank the Lord for how he's helped her dad, brought him around, and how wonderful he's doing. And let's continue to pray for them. God will be with them and bless them and find them a church and a home to stay in. Brother Cooper told me that a pop-up camper was looking pretty good right now. So let's remember them at this time as they're looking for a home up there and looking for a church and everything. And God will just lead them and guide them. I believe that's all the announcements. Is there anything else that I'm missing, Sister Tanya? Anything else? Okay, let's all stand if you can once again. Let's turn to 207 as prepared to take up the evening tithe and offering. Only a sinner saved by grace. 207. Nor have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footstep from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy has saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face. But now I'm a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it with what I embrace, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner
saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace.
Brother Turner, would you pray over the offering? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that beautiful offertory. Thank you for your giving and your good singing. Tonight we have no one on the schedule to sing. And our piano player's leaving me. I guess we're all going to sing a cappella, but the Independent Baptist Choir is going to sing for us at this time, and they're going to turn to 211, Whosoever Meaneth Me. We're going to sing 211.
I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, oh, his name be praised. His glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up and from sin set free. His blood hath made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pined. but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me.
Amen. Thank you for your good singing. Now you may go down, Sister Tyler. It's always a joy and a blessing to have the Scotts here, and at this time we'll turn the service over to him.
And thank you, Brother Og. Let's see, did I get this turned on? I think I'm on. I am on. Okay. All right, good. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Thank the Lord for Independent Baptist Church and for your pastor, Pastor Josh Goodwin, dear friend and a wonderful young man that learned to appreciate. And appreciate him giving me the opportunity to be with you tonight, inviting me here to fill the pulpit for a service. It's good to come to Independent Baptist. We appreciate the work and ministry here. Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew. It's not on. Okay. You picking me up from this other one? Let's take this thing off and see. No, it's not on.
Well, I'm not saying off.
All right. It's showing that it's on. Got about a half battery life, so I got to preach quickly. I'm not very good at that. Are we on now? Okay. All right. Good. I'll see if I can get this back. All right. We're living in some perilous times. But, you know, we think about that. It's not anything that's caught God by surprise. I'm thankful that today that the president of our country called for a national day of prayer. We had prayer in each of our services. What am I doing? Am I making static or I'm fine? All right. I'll probably make static anyway. But I'm thankful that we have a president that called for a national day of prayer. We've spent time in prayer in each of our services over at Maranatha Baptist today. And I think we should once again pause for just a special time of prayer for our nation. God is in control.
Amen.
He hasn't lost control of what's going on in America or in the country or in the world. God does not work without purpose. There's a purpose in everything that that goes and goes on in this world. He could stop that virus cold today.
Yes.
But I believe it's something that God is using in the lives of the saved and the unsaved. People are fearful. If you've been to Walmart or to Publix, I guess, over here or wherever, you may have seen, at least I did on Friday, and I didn't go in the stores on Saturday, but Friday it was a madhouse in the Walmart, and saw some things on television where people were fighting over toilet paper. They're fighting over toilet paper, couldn't find any toilet paper, paper towels, and different things, food items missing. People panic. And we ought not, as Christians, we ought not panic.
That's right.
We have a God, a great God, a God who is in control. And I want to pause for a moment and pray and ask God to continue to work in this time and situation in our country and in the world today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you for your grace and your goodness to us. Thank you that you are an all-knowing God. That you know our need before we ask. Lord, you know the needs that are in this world today, and Lord, you've allowed things to take place as they have, this virus to spread as it has in the world. Lord, we pray that you would use it for your honor and for your glory. We pray that believers, that Christians would trust you, that they would not falter and fear and faint in these times, but they would call upon you and look to you and put their faith and trust fully and completely in you to meet the needs as only you can do. And Father, I pray that you would give wisdom to the leaders of our nation and nations around the world. I pray that they would seek your wisdom. They would seek the counsel of God or godly people, Lord, to do the things that are right in this time. We pray that you would give knowledge and understanding to doctors and scientists and others who might be able to do something in the way of a vaccine or that, if you would use that, Lord, treatments for those who are already affected by it. Lord, we pray that you would give that knowledge and understanding that would help in this situation. Lord, again, we pray most of all that you would use it to draw all men to you. We pray that the lost would be saved. Help us as those of us who are Christians. Lord, those of us who are calling upon you and trusting you, help us to be bold witnesses during this time. That we would share the love of God and the wonderful gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are in fear, to those who are lost. And we'd be faithful to be that witness that you'd have us to be. And that in all of this, God, that you would receive honor and glory and the praise that is due your name. And Lord, we pray as we meet here tonight, we pray that we would yield ourselves to you fully and completely, each one of us. I pray that as I yield myself to you, fill me with your Spirit. God, use me today and use me in this hour to be an encouragement, to be a help to those who are gathered here. Thank you for each one that is here. Father, I pray that you would have your way in their lives. I pray that as we yield ourselves to you, that you would speak, and the Lord, that we would do that which you speak to us about. And we'll thank you for what you do. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 It is good to see you here tonight and to see that you haven't let it fear cause you to stay home from the house of God tonight. I understand that some have that concern, and rightfully so. I have relatives as well that have physical conditions that have some concern about not just about the coronavirus, but about getting infected in times of like this. And so, certainly understand that. But I appreciate you being here. And if you would open your Bibles with me, I said Matthew chapter 6. If I hadn't mentioned that already, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. I want to speak to you for a few minutes that I have this evening from this passage. This is the, of course, most of us are familiar with, is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's first public ministry address, the recorded anyway. I believe it's his first. And right in the middle of this sermon, that there's many sermons that we could gather from this sermon, but right in the middle of it, there's some things that I think may be helpful to us in this time. Am I doing something to cause that? Am I hearing a static up here? Is it me or is it y'all hearing that? Okay. Maybe I'm not used to this little thing on my. All right. Well, hopefully it didn't distract. I'm still. Does the devil get in the sound system around here sometimes too? He does do that. All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's where I've got this part here. Pardon? Turn this one off. Okay. We'll do that. Because I'll stay right here at the pulpit. I'll try not to wander. I'll turn this thing off. I'm not just going to turn it off. I'm going to take it off. I'm likely to be reaching up there to my ear. All right. Unchained. Free. The Gospel of Matthew, this is the Sermon on the Mount, as many, I'm sure most of us are familiar with, and the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he said in verse number 1 of chapter 5, he calls the disciples to him, he began to preach, and many sermons we find in this particular sermon, in these chapters, 5, 6, and 7, but I want to draw our attention tonight to some thoughts in chapter 6 as we look at the situation that we find ourselves in today and maybe help us be an encouragement to us. And we read from Matthew chapter 6, and if you're able, I like the practice of standing for the reading of God's Word, and if you're able, would you stand with me? And I'm going to read selected verses out of Matthew chapter 6. You follow along as I read Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 7, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible says, but when you pray, he's speaking to them on prayer and teaching them on prayer, when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their many speakings. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Note there in verse number 8, he says, your Father knoweth what things you have need of. As we read on in this passage, go to verse number 14. The Bible says in verse number 14, again, as he's giving that revelation concerning prayer, he said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men as fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. On down in verse number 24 and following, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I draw your attention to those verses that say there in verse number 32 again, where it says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. I want to speak to us tonight for just a few moments on this thought. Your heavenly Father knows your need. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We prayed already. We'll move right into the message. You know, God is omniscient. That is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. There's not one thing that's taken place in this world today, in this last hour, in this past 24 hours, or in the existence of the world, that God doesn't already know about, and didn't already know about, and will know about the things ahead. God is omniscient, and He knows your need. He knows your need individually. He knows the need of our nation today. He knows the need of our church today, and God desires to meet that need. God desires to see His people seeking Him for the needs that they have, yet He knows those needs. I draw your attention to that thought, that God knows your need. God knows your need, and God desires to meet those needs tonight. God knows it all, even before we ask, yet He tells us to ask. He tells us to ask for those things that we have need of. I want to draw your attention to three things in this passage that we've read from these verses tonight about the need that God already knows. And God desires to meet those needs. First of all, I see in verses 14 and 15, we read a moment ago, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of forgiveness. We all have need of forgiveness. We know we're sinners. He said in verse number 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Now, of course, we know that we need forgiveness of our sin to be accepted of Christ and have Christ come into our heart and life to be saved. We need the forgiveness of the sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior in order to be saved. But let's look a little bit closer at that. If you go back to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 25, we find some thoughts there. And a couple of other psalms we'll look at. Psalm 25 Psalm of David, Psalm 25. David said unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. He's speaking and worshiping the Lord here. He says, I lift up my soul to you. I'm trusting you. My faith and trust is in you. And he goes on in this psalm, and he says in verse number 14 and following, he says, so the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever before toward the Lord, for he shall pluck up my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look not upon mine afflictions and my pain, and what? Forgive all my sins. David was a sinful man, and he was a man after God's own heart, yet he was a sinful man, just like every one of us are sinners saved by grace. We sang that earlier, amen? And we need forgiveness, and David understood that. He called out to the Lord. He said, look upon all mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Psalm number 32 and verse number 1. Again, the psalmist David speaking, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. This great psalm in Psalm 32 was that psalm where David came to acknowledge his sin of his relationship with Bathsheba and the sins that committed with Bathsheba, along with other sins that followed that, in trying to hide that sin. And he came to realize that once he confessed that sin, his sins were forgiven. Blessed he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Thank God. In David's day, the sins were covered by the sacrifices were made. Thank God today our sins are washed away. Amen. Our sins are not just covered. They are washed away, never to be remembered again. God knows our need of forgiveness. We all fall short of the glory of God at some point in some time in our life, even after we're saved. You know, I don't believe there's any sinless perfection. There are those doctrinal speaking that you can you grow in your Christian life to the point that you won't sin on this earth. I don't know. I haven't met that person yet. I haven't met that person yet that has not come to the point that they'll not sin. God knows the need of our forgiveness that we have. Psalm 85 is another one. Psalm 85 and verse number 2. The Bible tells us of that need of forgiveness, that God recognizes that need. Psalm 85 and verses 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been faithful unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah, meditate upon this. That's to the nation. God forgives not just the individual, but God will forgive a nation. God will forgive America if they'd turn back to him. God would forgive us if we would humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways and turn back to the Lord. He would forgive our land and heal our nation, as the verse tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He has forgiveness for the nations, not only for the individual, but for the nation. Psalm 86 and verse number 5, that familiar psalm, or a verse from the psalm that speaks of revival, really. Psalm, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Actually, I'm thinking back of verse of chapter 85 and verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us that thy people may rejoice in thee? In the forgiveness that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that we receive when we come to him, brings revival to our hearts and lives. And every one of us need revival. I know I do, and I think probably if we're willing to admit it, we all need to be revived. We all move away from God, move and go our own route, go our own way in different times and different situations in our life. And when we do, we need to be revived, and revival comes through forgiveness and restoring the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus tells the people at that time that he has the power to forgive sins. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible tells us in verse number 2, Matthew chapter 9, there in verse 1 and 2, it says, and he entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Some here today understand that passage where the others brought people to, others were brought to the Lord Jesus by someone who saw their need. And here we find that there were those that saw the need of this man and brought him there. And Jesus, seeing their faith, it was the faith of those that brought him, brought the man sick of a palsy, and I'm sure along with his faith as well, and said there as he brought them, they brought him, he said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Look on down in the passage. He said in this passage in verse number 5, for whether it is easier, as he spoke to the scribes there that challenged him about this, saying he's blaspheming. In verse number 3, he said, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? He said, I have the power to forgive. Verse number 6, he said, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. He said, I have the power, and I'm going to use that power. God desires to use that power in the life of every one of us here tonight. God desires to use that power of forgiveness of sin in our nation today. God desires to use that power of forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ desires to use that power in the life of those. God knows our need of forgiveness. We need to be willing to confess that need. We need to be willing to confess our sin, and he will forgive our sins. Colossians chapter 1, the Bible tells us forgiveness comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12 and following, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That is, without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. There, blood of sacrifices can be offered, but if it's not the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sinless Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, there is no forgiveness. But God gives that forgiveness through the work of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we carry the burdens that we do of sin when we have sin in our life? Let us not carry those burdens. Let us confess those sins and let the Lord Jesus Christ cleanse us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have the great offer of all of our sins being cleansed, that we have, oftentimes we carry those sins when we should confess those sins. God knows our need of forgiveness. The passage tells us there in Matthew chapter 6. I see another thought in this passage. God not only knows the need of our forgiveness, but God knows the need of food. And I use the word food using alliteration here, but food is symbolic of material needs. And the passage tells us in verse number 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Now, that's a rhetorical question. Are you not? The answer is yes. We know. We're God's creation. We're created in the image of God. And with that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, he knows our need. He knows the need of food and raiment and housing and those things. He knows all that. He knows the need of America today with this situation that's going on that's got everybody in fear, that's got everybody scrambling the way they are. God knows our need. Physical need, those material needs, those things. And God owns it all. He owns it all, and there's nothing that he will withhold from those who love him. Nothing good will he withhold from those who love him, those who desire to do his will. He says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Which of us can think of something and can do something that's going to change our life? We can't do it. We can't do it, but God can. We may decide to do something, but if we don't put action to it with the power of God and the Spirit of God working in our life, we're not going to be able to do it. The Bible says that he knows our need. He knows our needs of forgiveness. He knows our needs of material things as well. He owns it all and will give us that which we need out of that which he owns. If God will care for the soul of or for the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and the flowers in the field, why would he not care for you and me? Why would he not care to meet the needs that we have? We have so much, yet we are afraid God will not take care of the needs that we have. I read a story of a missionary. Speaking of Brother Spangler, a missionary. We got other missionaries in here. We got retired folks that are. I heard another reverend or whatever. How many of you are winter residents? How many of you are winter residents? I'm just curious. Y'all gonna be leaving us before long? We just said goodbye to folks this past week. It's been a blessing in our church, and man, I hate to say y'all just need to go ahead and forget about that cold weather up north and stay here. Pastor's probably already told you that, hasn't he? You know, just stay here. Be a blessing year round. But then somebody'd be missing a blessing somewhere else the other part of the year. But now I don't know how. I started talking about a missionary story that I read. There's a missionary on the field in a a Spanish country was speaking to a new convert, a young fellow named Pablo. Pablo, he said, if he's talking to him about the needs and being able to give of what you have, and he said, Pablo, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 of them to the Lord's work? The young man said, well, brother, you know I'd give 50 of them to the Lord's work. If I had 100 sheep, sure, I'd be glad to give 50. He said, well, that's great, Pablo, but if you had 50 cows, would you give 25 of them to the Lord's work? He said, well, brother, you know I'd be glad to give 25 of my cows if I had 50 cows. I'd be glad to give 25 of them to the Lord's work. He said, well, the missionary that looked at him again, trying to teach him a lesson about this matter of God meeting your need and trusting God with things, he said, Pablo, if you had 2 pigs, would you give one to the Lord's work? Pablo said, brother, you know I got 2 pigs. we need to trust God and give what we have. Give it to the Lord. Give it over. Trust Him. He's going to meet our needs. How often we say, if I had more, I'd do more. If I had more food, if I had more of the material things, I'd do more. Maybe you need to do more, and God will give you more. You need to trust God. God knows your need, and God will meet that need. The reply ought to be, God, take what I've got. Use it however you would. Because I know you're going to meet my needs. I know you're going to take care of me. God knows what you have need of. He gave it to you in the first place.
That's right.
He gave it to you in the first place, and God knows what you still have need of, and He'll meet that need as you trust Him. God, I believe in this situation we find ourselves in America today, and in there's other countries that are worse than America and as far as this virus thing, but I believe in this. God is testing us. God is testing America and looking for America to turn to Him and acknowledge that He's going to take care of them, that He's going to meet that need. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of forgiveness. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of food or of material things. And thirdly, I give this thought, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of faith. Faith. You say, well, I have faith. I have faith in God. But look at the passage, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? And then what does it say? O ye of little faith. Jesus said, you have little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, that is the unbelievers. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And the greatest of that is faith. We need to trust God. We need to have a greater faith and trust in God. And there is a difference. God, I believe you may say it like a seed. I've heard people talk about a seed of faith, and I believe we start out with a mustard seed. The Bible speaks of that. But there's opportunity for that faith to grow.
Yes.
The experiences that we go through in life should bring us to a greater faith. Here he said you have need of faith, but back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 20, we won't take time to turn there, but in the Song of Moses, there's the statements made that they had no faith. They had no faith. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says the just, those who are justified, shall live by faith. We should be living our life in every way, trusting the Lord to meet our needs. Here in Matthew chapter 6 in verse number 30, he mentions that it is little faith. The Bible tells us in John chapter 15, I believe it is, that there's much faith and greater faith. There's a growth in faith. God knows that we have need of faith. There's to be faith, an increase in faith. Luke chapter 17, and we'll turn there. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 17, in verse 5 and 6, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The disciples today, and we're disciples, we should be disciples of Christ, followers of that one who's teaching us, disciples of Christ, that ought to be our cry to him, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. We need increased faith today. I believe the trials that we go through in life and the trials we're going through as a nation today is to increase our faith in God. God knows that we have need of faith. There was a professional baseball player who's also a professional football player, and some of your sports fans may know the name, remember the name Deion Sanders. Don't know about his spiritual need. I read a story about him, though, that said that he's the only major league athlete that hit a home run and scored a touchdown football in the same week. So he's known for that. But Sanders grew up in the streets of Fort Myers, Florida. He grew up in the streets of Fort Myers, Florida, and where exposure to some would-be athletes, some of his friends, spurred him to make a success, to make a decision, and to follow through with that decision. Let me pause right there and say, before I finish that story, I'll tell you another little story. Little boy's talking to his father, and he said, Daddy, there was three frogs sitting on a limb, and one decided to jump off the limb. How many frogs would be left? Well, Daddy said, well, son, I understand that. There'd be two left. He said, no, Daddy, it's not right. He said, what do you mean it's not right? And he said, one decided to jump off. How many would be left? And the father said, oh, I get it. One decided to jump off. All three went in. They all three jumped off and went in. And he said, no, son, or the father, or the son said, no, Daddy, that's not right. He said, well, how many would be left? He said, well, all three of them would be left because the one decided to jump off, but he didn't jump off. Too many times we decide to do something, but we never follow through and do it. Deion Sanders saw his friends and their actions, and he decided to do something about his ability to play sports. He said, I thought of those other people, those other friends of mine, and he said, I call them Idas. He said, they would say, if I'd have done this, I'd have been more successful. If I'd have practiced a little harder, I'd have been a superstar. If I'd have done this or I'd have done that, things would have been different. They were as fast, he said that those other guys on the street were as fast as him. Many of them had the talent that he had, but they didn't follow through with the decisions that they made. They didn't follow through and practice and work and do the things to develop the talents. And when they didn't do that, they were still on the streets and still in drugs whenever Deion Sanders was making, millions in his situation. Applying that to the Christian life, I think that there are those maybe among us even here that said, if only I'd have done something different. If only I'd have had more faith. God knows our need of faith, and that's where it all comes down to, I believe, in these other things as well. It comes down to trusting God. That's what faith is. If only I'd had more faith to believe God, to use me or to do work through me in a greater way, what would it have been like? What would it have been? God knows our need. God knows our need individually. God knows our need as a nation. I trust that we will trust Him, that we will take these words where the Bible tells us your Heavenly Father knows your need, and trust Him for forgiveness, not carry the burden of sin, for helping others to see that He will forgive them, putting their faith and trust in Him as their Savior. That God knows our need of material things, a situation like the medical needs right now. God knows those need. Trust Him. Look to Him. Call out to Him. Don't wait for just one day of national prayer. Pray every day.
Amen.
Pray every day for God to move and work through these situations to bring those to Him that need to put their faith and trust in Him. Warren Wiersbe was a Bible teacher, and you may hear him. I know he's on Bible Broadcasting Network, BBN Radio, and other places, or may have seen some of his books through the years. He's with the Lord now. But in his autobiography, book titled Be Myself, he said, "If life is to have meaning, and if God's will is to be done, all of us have to accept who we are and what we are, give it back to God, and thank Him for the way He has made us. What I am is God's gift to me, and what I do with it is my gift to God." We need to trust God. Give our lives back to Him. Let Him work in us and through us, in not only for our needs, but for the needs of others as well. Let's bow together in prayer.